Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe live at Patriots training camp for day 8. We've been here throughout camp. We are brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heat and cooling and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. We'll go on the clock, catch up to speed in just 60 seconds, what you've missed through 8 days at Patriots training camp. We go on the clock every Thursday at high noon, recap something in 60 seconds. That's what we'll do today. Drake May, through 8 days of camp, Keith, and 6 real practices, has not thrown an interception. He mentioned there Peppers could have had one.
Yeah, Peppers was
on
close.
The first day.
Yeah.
And he's joked around about that, says he's not afraid to throw them. But one of the things we want to see out of Drake May in year two, manage the turnovers, the wind should follow. I mean, he's put a couple of snaps on the ground when it came to exchanges with Bradbury and a couple with Wilson, but he hasn't thrown a pick yet. That's a good story.
Nope, that is definitely a good story, especially because we feel like this is a pretty good defense, right? Like, we've gone over all the different position groups and how they rank in the NFL and everything else. Overall, it is a good defense. Now, some of that comes with, unfortunately, not a ton of Christian Gonzalez, not a ton of Carlton Davis. So there is that, too. But as far as, like, the rush that's getting there, as far as, you know, the linebackers and even the safeties, like, it's a pretty good group for him to be practicing against. And, no, one of my big takeaways is he has been very solid. Like, he has been solid. He's made a few flashy plays. They're definitely looking to see if he'll run a little bit. Not that they're doing a ton of that in some of the 11-on-11s, but just from those guys talking about it and some of the plays that we've seen. So I would say it's been a very, very solid camp for Drake May.
Okay. You can discuss the Patriots, 617-779-7937, if you'd like. Very light day today. More of a walkthrough. Only a few players even in helmets. Never mind full-blown pads. So they will be inside the stadium tomorrow for season ticket holders. I think they get the weekend off. And then we're back here next Monday through Wednesday at training camp leading up to joint practices against the Commanders and the first preseason game, Keith.
Yes.
A week from tomorrow.
Whew.
Where they'll unveil the Brady statue.
Yeah, that too. Statue night.
We talked about that earlier. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free. Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps as well. Lots of ways to listen to Jones and Keefe here on Trade Deadline Day.
I know. And there's been some moves. There's been some activity.
Oh, do we need to go to the desk?
No, yes. I'm just saying for people joining us now.
Yes.
People joining us now.
Got it.
There have been some moves. The deadline for some ungodly reason is 6 p.m., so it's well after we get off the air. However, last night there were trades. The Mariners have been busy. Closers have been changing teams.
Yeah,
the Red Sox have been quiet.
The big one today, yeah. Mason Miller goes to the Padres. He's the closer for the A's. He's young. He's cost-controlled. They give up the number 3 prospect by some measures in baseball. So I assumed, Keith, that meant that the Padres would be looking to buy. They wouldn't be trading off Dylan Cease, Robert Suarez, names like this. I was wrong.
Okay.
Buster Olney, the Padres have had extensive talks with the Red Sox about Jaron Duran.
Oh, my God.
The Red Sox keep saying no.
Let it go, Padres.
And with the Guardians about your guy, Stephen Kwan.
He's good.
Some rival execs fully expect the Padres to land one of those two by day's end. That's what Buster Olney says.
Well, they've heated up a little bit combined with Rafael Devers tanking the Giants. They are a playoff team right now. So
a
couple of weeks ago, the conversation was very different. For the Padres, they might have been thinking about Jaron Duran sort of for the future and being willing to move on from some of their pitchers. But now they're probably looking at, like, all right, we're going to buy. They just added Mason Miller. If they can add an outfielder leadoff hitter type like Kwan or Duran, they probably feel like they got as good a chance as anybody out there.
Let me give you a little more on this. This is Dennis Lynn, covers the Padres out in San Diego. He says, by most indications, San Diego still has not stopped trying on a pair of top outfield targets, Duran and Kwan, same names. To acquire either player, however, they may need to trade starter Dylan Cease or incumbent closer Robert Suarez, not to be confused with Eugenio Suarez, who went to the Mariners, and perhaps flip the resulting prospect capital to Boston or Cleveland. So wait a minute. They're going to trade Dylan Cease to somebody else.
Yeah.
and then use the prospects they got for Dylan Cease to get Durant?
Yeah, it's like an NBA three-team trade.
So that would suck. I mean,
you asked earlier best-case scenario, and I laid it out. Yep, like Joe Ryan, Yandy Diaz, that kind of thing.
Worst-case scenario, Durant for prospects?
100%.
That's I was about to say doing nothing, but you're right. That's way worse.
No, that's worse.
Selling for prospects would be worse than doing nothing, which right now is just acquiring Steven Matz. Maybe helps, maybe not, but it's a minor move that they made overnight.
Doing nothing is frustrating.
Worst case scenario would be that. They trade C somewhere else, they get prospects, and then they use those prospects, pull them together for Jaren Durant. I don't want prospects for Durant. I don't even want to trade him. Never mind for prospects.
It really doesn't feel likely, though. Like, talking to Rob Bradford, don't you feel like Jaren Durant's not going anywhere?
I do.
And one of the main reasons, and this they might have backed into this, if Marcelo Meyer was healthy and hitting, maybe they are dumb enough to trade him. Maybe they're like, and Durant. But now that all of their outfielders are playing every day because Rafael is playing second base, I think they feel like they have to have him. Plus, it doesn't hurt that Durant is on a little bit of a tear right now. They seem to have found a new spot for him in the lineup. So I think he's going to be here. My prediction is he does not get traded today. Now, the offseason, different story, but we're talking about today.
So I would agree. John Heyman maybe will make you feel a little bit better about this. He says if the Padres can't get Steven Kwan, they'll look to Laureano, who I know used to be with the A's. Where is he now? Baltimore?
He's still in baseball?
Yeah, I guess. And Luis Robert? To fill a need. That's in Chicago. He's having a very bad year. So Heyman says their pivot would be not to Durant. Their pivot would be further down the list if you want to put stock in what he had to say. One more item here. This is also from John Heyman. Teams in on Sandy. I thought it was Alcantara. What did Bradford say? Alcantara?
Alcantara. I thought it was Alcantara, too.
Like the video game?
Alcantara. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, start, select.
Not the first time.
Every time he pitches, check the baseball
reference page real quick. So regardless of pronunciation, wouldn't be the first time I butchered it. John Heyman says the teams in are the Astros, the Cubs, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
This has to be a little concerning for everybody that the Red Sox, who used to be the interest kings, who would make fun of, you know, the Heim Bloom off seasons for being so close, and even Breslow, you know, this year was very good in the offseason, but prior to that, you're like, all right, what even is this guy? They've already been, quote-unquote, interested in a couple of guys that have already traded teams, and they didn't get them.
Good point.
And now there's a couple more names that are out there that they're one of four teams.
All right.
Do they feel like the team that is going to be the one to emerge from that group?
No, not on one of these big-ticket guys. But who's the name you're most confident they're going to get today, if there is one? Is there a name you're confident they're going to get?
Oh, no, I'm not confident that they get anybody.
I think they're going to get one of those D-backs pitchers. They've been linked to him.
Zach Gallen, you think?
Yeah, so one of those two. I would lean Merrill Kelly. Gallen probably has the better overall track record.
No, I am not confident in any of them.
Gallen has the more high-end seasons on there. Kelly's been really good in the postseason, as Bradford said.
Ask me again.
Who's the Red Sox player you're most confident in them acquiring?
Charlie Morton.
That's disappointing.
Charlie Morton.
They have been linked a ton to Charlie Morton,
correct,
too. That's correct. True.
And that looks like last year's deadline, because it's not that Breslow can't make moves. Like, Heim Bloom just wouldn't even make moves.
Yep.
Right? Like, but they were also in a position where you could have made the case they could have been sellers. You know, talking about Heim Bloom years, you can't with Breslow. Breslow, last year, they did like a soft buy. They added a bunch of bodies, and it was a mess. So you know his phone works. You know he can actually communicate a deal with another general manager. And they made one deal last night. They got Steven Matz. Like, okay, great. They traded their 19th rated prospect. They
Blaise
got
Jordan.
Steven Matz.
Yep.
And you're like, okay. And so he probably will make another move or two between now and 6 o'clock, but I think it's probably going to be Charlie Morton.
All right, if it's Charlie Morton, then that really is nothing.
Maybe it's that Orioles deal. Maybe it's Morton and
O'Hearn.
Broherne, they call him.
Oh, they do.
Broherne. Yeah, Ryan Broherne.
Oh, he's moving up my list a little bit.
But he's a lefty, but he's another guy. He's another guy that only hits righties.
Yeah. I mean, look, I do think he'd be better than Toro, so, like, it's an upgrade. I'll take it, but I want a righty stick. Yandy Diaz, to me, feels like a bit of a pipe dream. Bradford made me feel a little better about that. To me, the Diamondbacks pitchers are right in the middle. Morton would be like Matz.
Yeah.
Matz is, to me, similar to, and this stinks, but similar to Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia a year ago. I bet he'll be better. It'd be hard to be worse than those two, but it's just fifth, sixth, maybe seventh inning guy who can give you a couple of innings, four, five, six outs.
Yeah.
He's a lefty. So, like, there's a use for that. I'm not saying he's going to be bad. It just doesn't move the needle. you know, at the top end, I would still have Cease right after Joe Ryan, who I feel like isn't moving. You know, maybe the Marlins pitchers, Cabrera and Alcantara. What is the pass? What is it again?
Up, up, down, down, left, right, AB,
thank
start,
you.
Select.
Slash Alcantara. So those might be impact players that have moved. To me, there hasn't been an impact starter that's moved yet. We can agree to disagree on Shane Bieber, who won the Cy Young in 2020. I don't think he hasn't thrown a pitch in the bigs this year.
Bradford was way higher on Bieber than I was.
That to me is not an impact name. So there's been five impact names that have moved. Three are relievers, Miller, Duran, Helsley. Two the Mariners got, Eugenio Suarez
right.
and Josh Naylor.
We had two hitters.
But like to me, I wouldn't say Zach Gallen or Merrill Kelly are on the impact arms list. I personally wouldn't put them there.
Merrill Kelly's closer to
but
that.
They would be better than Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
And so
Mitch Keller, same thing. I'd put him in there.
I couldn't say that Breslow got an impact guy at the deadline, but I could say he helped the club if they get those guys. If they get Charlie Morton and Steven Matz, and that's all they have to show at the deadline, he didn't even help the team.
So another way
in a big way, he didn't make a significant move. He made moves similar to a year ago.
Another way to look at this is what move do they need to make or moves do they need to make to prevent the Alex Cora second half August collapse? They are nothing if not consistent.
The Cora pity party.
They have a sad deadline.
Yeah.
They feel bad for themselves. They complain about the travel, the start time of games, and not getting any help. Like, who's good enough? So, like, in that sense, I feel like Merrill Kelly might be sort of enough for them to be like, not have a complete sad for the next month. Somebody lower than, like, Charlie Morton? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, for me, it wouldn't. Maybe those guys feel differently.
They shouldn't pout if they get Merrill Kelly.
Right.
If you get Charlie Morton and Steven Matz, you're allowed to pout.
Pout away. I'll be pouting with you.
I personally would pout.
Go ahead.
And you're going to hear what Alex Cora is up to today, but I was not encouraged when I heard this after the game yesterday.
And also,
what Alex Cora is up to today, because it doesn't sound like he's waiting on pins and needles for any big moves. It does not.
No. Quantity over quality I also don't want, because that's what it felt like last year was.
Yeah.
It was like, let's just throw a bunch of, like, hey, look at all these names we brought in. And you're like, what?
No, you said it best earlier. You're like, if they just got the two names they've been in on, the significant names that moved, they were reportedly in on Duran.
Duran and
Dombrowski outmaneuvered them, and Eugenio Suarez went to Seattle. If they just got those
two. That's a win.
That would have, even if they didn't get a starting pitcher, that would have been a win.
Then Breslow can go to the birthday party with Cora. You don't have to worry about anything. They can take the rest of the day off if they got those two guys, honestly.
Seriously. Which is why that's what Dombrowski does. Dombrowski gets in there early and then takes deadline day off. He goes and enjoys himself on his off day.
He's probably still cooking something up.
Unlike Breslow, who's working the phones. So look, Keith, I think it's a good time to go on the clock. We're 8 days into training camp. I'd say six real practices, two padded practices into training camp with a couple of walkthroughs. In case anybody has missed anything, we decide to go on the clock and tell you what you've missed so far through 8 days at Patriots training camp. We've sat here through just about all of it. We weren't here on Saturday. And so we want to recap everything that's happened in just 60 seconds. You want to go first or second? I'll give you the option.
I'll go first.
All right, Nick, let's let Keith take it away. Put him on the clock. What has happened in 60 seconds at Pats camp?
All right, Pats camp at 60 seconds. First off, first full padded practice was on Monday when Christian Gonzalez got hurt. Now, reportedly, it won't be a significant injury, but he's been out since with a hamstring injury. Drake May, year two, has looked really good. He has been solid. I'd say B-plus throughout camp so far. Also, head and shoulders better than the other quarterbacks. Josh Dobbs is a distant second. Terrible. Wolvers barely even plays. Steph Diggs is healthy and was making plays early on in camp. Looks pretty good. Kyle Williams has flashed. The rookie third rounder has had two highlight reel plays. Also a couple of drops. Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty have been very consistent. And Mac Hollins showed up today getting some first team reps during walkthrough. Will Campbell, mixed bag with arrow pointing down. He has not been great so far. However, they may have found somebody in third-round pick Jared Wilson, who is currently slotted to be their starting left guard. On defense, Kalavon Chasen. His name has rang out throughout camp. Could be one of two things. Either he's taking advantage of a bad offensive line, or he's due for a breakout year. Probably that first thing, though. Veteran guys like Carlton Davis, Morgan Moses, Terrell Lynn, and Robert Spillane have all been given time throughout camp, but seemingly are going to be good to go.
Okay. That's everything that happened at Patriots training camp in 60 seconds-ish.
Well,
right there.
False started and went long.
Damn it. Delay a game. False start and delay a game.
Well, you know, it's not.
It's camp for me as well.
It's training camp for all of us, is what I was just going to say. I mean, how dare you?
All right.
Boy, Nick is ready. Nick is agitated. The Red Sox haven't done anything.
He's pissed.
We haven't seen him in a while.
No, we haven't.
Like, we haven't been, we're going to see Nick tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
We haven't seen him in a while, but I think
seriously,
he's going a little stir crazy back there without us in the house. And, yeah, maybe a little agitated at the Red Sox. All right, good recap there from Keith.
Thank you.
Why don't you put me on the clock, Nick? I will give you mine. All right, here's everything you need to know about Pat's training camp in just 60 seconds. Mike Vrabel is the boss. hands-on, running the show. Congrats, New England. You have a head coach again. Drake May looks like he's making the leap. He has command of the offense, no interceptions through 8 days. Arrow pointing up in year two. Good news, Steph Diggs looks healthy. Mac Hollins back today. Bad news, Christian Gonzalez hurt. He's your only elite player. Carlton Davis and Morgan Moses also being managed for age and injury situations, though Davis is out there today. Will Campbell, struggling, number four overall pick, has not been able to block as well as you would hope for. Maybe his short arms coming back to catch him. Jared Wilson, on the other hand, flashing. He's your third-round pick out of Georgia. Looks like your opening day left guard. A guy that Campbell has struggled to block is Kalavon Chasen. He might set the sack record if he went against Will Campbell for every rep. DJ James, another name to file away, undrafted rookie. Our eyesight is bad. Keith got binoculars, which was a good move. And the only thing hotter than Drake May, the heat. It's been oppressive here, although it's a little better today.
No, today's comfortable. I can live with today, but the first 3 days, and even a couple of days last week, hot.
Hot.
Hot. And we get the look ahead? What's next week look like? We're back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, joint practices with the Commanders.
All right,
Terry McLaurin.
Let me take a look.
We'll try to maybe wrestle him away from other teams. Oh, what
next
are you
doing? Monday. 80,
oh, you got the weather check.
Yeah, 84.
Yep.
Tuesday, 82.
Yep.
Wednesday, 80.
Oh, nice. I
like
that.
Doable. Very doable.
84, 82, 80. I'm guessing Thursday we won't be here. 78.
75, but chance of rain.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad. Looking forward to that, though.
So that's everything you've missed at Patriots training camp thus far. Jones and Keefe for every single moment of it, minus Saturday. Brought to you by McFarland Energy. You can jump in on the Red Sox at the trade deadline, 617-779-7937. About 5.5 hours to go until the 6 p.m. deadline tonight. Craig Breslow hasn't done much to this point. He still has a little bit of time to get something done, just a little bit, although it doesn't sound like his manager expects much. We'll get to that and all the latest on the Red Sox right after trending.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With Billy Lanny. How's Alex Cora? Yesterday, Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from the Twins. Reporters asked a couple of different times. They're like, what do you expect at the deadline? He didn't crack. Then he gets asked, what are you going to be? You going to be near the phone or anything tomorrow? He's like, nah, I got a kid's party to attend.
Is there a chance he's joking?
Alex,
is there any chance?
Alex Cora is going to be at Discovery Zone with the kids, not worried about any trades from his team here today.
We traded Jaren Duran. Why don't you guys run that by me first? Like, sorry, Skip, you weren't around.
I think
your phone was off.
I think it's more passive-aggressive garbage from Alex Cora, where he's distancing himself from the Red Sox doing nothing at the deadline. That way, like you said, Keith, if they sell, I wasn't even a part of it. I wasn't even there. I was at a kid's party. I wasn't even in the loop. We traded Duran. What the hell? Or if they do nothing, which to this point they've done. Steven Matz, I'm sorry. That's
feels like nothing.
It's not much of a move. It's closer to nothing than something. I can tell you that. Maybe he'll give you a nice stretch run out of the bullpen. You can't always see who's going to be an impact player or not. But I'd wager against it. That way, if they do nothing, again, I wasn't even around. And he can have his little pity party after he goes to the kid's party here today. I think it's a wormy move by a manager who's done that frequently.
He also needs to figure out how to not have an August collapse and not to, let's put Breslow to the side. We all know what we want Breslow to do.
Does it sound like he's locked in to avoid an August collapse at the kids' party today, Keith?
Nah.
And again, just to be clear, I don't think it's his kids' party. I think he's just going to a party with his children.
You think there's cake?
Probably.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's a party. So I just feel like every year, even 2021, where the team was able to turn it around and have a good run in the playoffs and go to the ALCS. Even in 2021, they had a losing record in August. So the trade deadline is always July 31st, right? And they almost every year do nothing. The year they got Schwarber, he wasn't ready to go. So, like, I think the immediate impact was, like, you added an injured guy. And, like, we didn't know how good he was going to be. So they had a fall off. All the other years, they were kind of 2 games out. Like, they were just out. They're like, we should be buyers. You had guys like Kenley Jansen say, we should be buyers. And then they didn't. Last year, they, like, pretended to. All the other years, they didn't at all. And the team would just go in, like, a shell. And you're like, all right, the team has been bad for a number of years. Slightly overachieving last year, but the roster was bad. But if you're Alex Cora, like, what do you have to hang your hat on over the last several years? So we all agree with you that they should buy on the team and that you should be getting some new helpful impact players.
Yeah.
If they don't, it doesn't mean pack up shop. It means figure it out with what you have. And so I'm not sure. I don't know how you can bet on that considering it hasn't happened yet. The last time they were really good was, what, 2018 when the team was a wagon.
I don't like it. I don't like the whole – I don't like that answer at all. Like, oh, I'm not even going to be near anything. I'm at a children's party, which, again,
it's my off day.
I don't like, yeah, it's what he said. It's my off day.
Isn't that what, for the last several years, October has been? November, December, January, February?
Yeah, you have tons of, well, he spent most of, was it December or January, trying to get Rafi Devers on the phone.
You had all of October off for four straight months.
Devers
years.
Wouldn't answer him. Yeah, you get an extra month off from most managers, Alex, the last couple of years. But, okay, everybody needs their off day. No, I just didn't like what that represented on a number level.
I gotcha.
Like, it doesn't sound like they got a lot of irons in the fire. Doesn't sound
well,
like
no,
he's involved.
After the fact, that they were interested in Suarez, didn't get him.
Yep.
They were interested in Duran, didn't get him. So, yeah, that's not great because that's one thing that has really driven all Red Sox fans nuts over the last 5 years is the all-star team of players they were interested in and almost got, whether it be free agency or trades.
And they've been linked to what I would consider two impact names so far at the deadline that they didn't get.
Yep.
Suarez, Eugenio Suarez to the Mariners, and what is it again, Duran?
Yeah, Johan Duran, the Spanish Jaren Duran.
I'm getting confused now. It's throwing me off. But yeah, those are two that they were directly linked to, quote-unquote, in on, that somebody else got. And it's salt in the wound that one of them was Dombrowski.
Yeah.
Now, it's trade deadline day, Keith. We are a little less than five and a half hours away from tonight's 6 p.m. deadline.
I don't like a 6 p.m. deadline. Put me down for that, for things we're complaining about.
Yeah, and
I'll complain about that.
Here's what I've found that I really don't like about it. We haven't given the breaking or the trade deadline sounder much work to. What have we had, two trades during the show?
We can leave it with Hart and Fitzy if those guys want it.
Yeah, do they? Okay. You think they want – Fitzy just walked out of here. We should have asked while he was here.
He'll take it, I think.
But, yeah, that's yours. You can have that today just to remind the people because I don't want to alarm anybody when they hear it.
Oh, you might drive off the road. We don't want that.
Any trade in baseball happens, not just involving – any trade happens, you will hear what again?
Can you believe it?
That'd be the Stone Cold Steve Austin glass break, a Joe Castiglione Can You Believe It, standard air horn into the John Cena theme.
Now, just to be I guess like I never really thought about it broken down quite that
really
way.
It really sums up our show perfectly. Those four things. Excellent. Castiglione, can you believe it?
On the surface, none of them go together, and yet they really...
They all do.
It really just makes sense when you just... It's like the tears.
We started the show...
You're throwing all the tears together. You're like, that doesn't make sense. Then you look at the end, and you're like, man,
wow,
that's perfect.
I see what they're doing.
Same thing with the trade sounder.
Yeah, so this was... we started the show with a trade right off the rip. We like barely settled in.
Correct.
We went to the trade
I already forgot what it was.
It was a big trade.
Was it the Biebs? Was it that?
No.
It was another Seawald.
Seawald was on the move. So we had to update everybody on that. And I'm like, oh, my God, if we're getting a trade right like that, we might set a record for trades.
And we didn't fit. Mason Miller is a big trade.
Yeah, it is.
But those are the only two we've had all show.
Yeah.
Pretty lousy is what that is.
It's lousy.
So, look, I'd give Breslow a little bit of leeway, and this is not just a blind spot for my guy Breslow.
Yeah, but you're running out of hours to defend him. Might as well go full throat defense now because it's sick, or tomorrow at 10 a.m. you might have a different
tone. Okay, but if Shane Bieber is the best starting pitcher to move, I don't really think they missed out on much. They have missed out on relievers, clearly. They've missed out on bats. Seattle has the market cornered there. So crush him for those. But I'm not going to crush him for not getting Joe Ryan if Joe Ryan doesn't move. I think that's stupid.
Yeah, I get you on that. I mean, Joe Ryan's one that maybe in the offseason is such a big player, and I think Bradfield made the comparison to Garrett Crochet last year. And if the White Sox were steadfast in asking for Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer, that's dumb. Like, you're not gonna do that trade. I do wonder, though, how can Merrill Kelly, Mitch Keller, Zach Gallen. Those guys got to move.
Well, see, that's
if you're
what I
those
think.
Teams, you can't be possibly asking for too much, and those teams are all out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like Dylan Cease might not move because maybe they decide, all right, we're in it. We're going to keep him. Nathan Eovaldi, we mentioned Lugo being re-signed to an extension. So like those guys aren't going to be moved, so you can't kill Breslow. Like how the hell did you not get Eovaldi? It's like they're in it. Like you're not going to get Eovaldi.
Right. The Rangers might steal a playoff spot from you.
Right.
They're not trading you Eovaldi.
And then Joe Ryan might just be in that other end. Now, not to say that big-time starting pitchers have not been moved at the deadline. CC Sabathia, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, David Price, like a million guys have.
Yeah.
But if the asking price is so insane, I'm not trading Marcelo Meyer for Joe Ryan. So okay, fine, put that to bed. There should be a few guys, though, that you can get. And if you have to trade, like, so now Peyton Tolley's untouchable? Like, is that what we're dealing with now for the Red Sox?
Yeah, no, I'd trade him.
Can't do that.
I'd trade the password. I'd trade Tolley, who's the other arm people seem to like all of a sudden. Brandon Clark.
Yep.
Franklin Arias is a prospect I never even heard of until a week ago. He's like a top 50 prospect. Don't care.
The other Cespedes?
Yeah, I'd move any of those guys. Don't care. I'd keep Meyer. I'd keep Campbell. I'd keep Anthony. Anthony's not going anywhere. The other two in an astronomical deal, maybe I'd move. But I'm not moving them for Merrill Kelly or Zach Gallen, names like that. So if those guys move, that's a fair second guess for Breslow. But those are not, to me, impact arms. That's not what we're talking. Those are not number two impact arms. Those would be good pitchers. And if I had to guess, Breslow gets someone like that. The name I'm most confident they're going to get is one of those D-backs pitchers. You said Charlie Morton earlier today. That's a big difference. If they wind up with Charlie Morton and Steven Matz, I'm going to go, it's the same deadline as last year. If they get Gallen, it's in between like a home run of a deadline and last year. It's progress. It's probably still not enough. The one deal he has made, and it's been a while since we've mentioned, so let's refresh. Steven Matz, lefty reliever from the Cardinals. It's interesting they're dealing with Chaim Bloom. It's also interesting that they were talking to Bloom. Ryan Helsley moved. He's the closer, or was, on the Cardinals to the Mets. So clearly they were talking relievers with the Cardinals and Chaim Bloom. They got Steven Matz, not Ryan Helsley.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN graded it, Keefe, a C+, which I think summarizes it pretty well. It's a schmeh move. Better than nothing, I guess.
I guess.
The Cardinals have used Matz as a 5 or 6 out reliever, ESPN writes. That's the kind of length that will help bridge the middle innings for Boston. We like length.
Sure.
Unless, of course, they want to stretch out Matz as a number 5 starter or a swing pitcher. In recent years, his numbers have been much better working out of the bullpen. All they had to give up was Blaze Jordan, their number 19 prospect, according to Sox Prospect.
Nick, hit the sounder.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the sounder.
Can you believe it?
Let's slide over to the Major League Baseball trade deadline desk with our own Billy Laney. Billy.
All right. According to Ken Rosenthal, the Tigers acquiring Kyle Finnegan from the Nationals, sources tell The Athletic.
Okay. That's another closer, right? Another closer off the board?
Is he? I was about to ask.
Kyle Finnegan was an all-star in 2024. This year he has 20 saves, although he has an ERA over 4. But still, 39 innings pitched, 32 strikeouts, 33 years old. And let's see, he is a rental. So he is a rental, but going to a playoff team. The Tigers obviously lead the Central, although they've really come back to the pack. But another 4 closers that have been traded?
Yeah, so again, like he's short of those other names we've mentioned.
Yeah, no, he's not as good as those guys, but he's another arm.
Well, and what I would say, too, is, you know, it's the Tigers making another move. So they got Chris Paddock the other day.
Yep.
They get another arm. I'm trying to remember if they made another move. I'm just going through trades quickly to see if they made another move. I thought they made something else minor yesterday.
All right.
But that's arguably the best team in the American League.
Could be.
By record, it's them or Toronto, who I still think is catchable and I'm largely not impressed with, although they're the team that landed Shane Bieber. But okay. I didn't realize he was an all-star a year ago.
He was.
I didn't realize he had 20 saves.
I don't think the team is very good.
Is he a righty or a lefty?
He's a righty.
So, I mean, look, I guess would I rather have him than Matz? Probably.
Yeah.
But I think that's comparable. I don't think that's a massive move by any means. But it's another team in the playoffs buying.
And he's been good in July. ERA of 11.25. Oh, okay. My God. He just wore it. He went against San Diego. He pitched a third of an inning and gave up 5 earned runs. That'll do it.
The Red Sox smashed them. So did he even pitch in the Sox series?
He did. He got an out back on Sunday, July 6th, in a loss.
Clean out?
Loss.
Nothing else? No base runners?
Just an out.
Clean out.
One pitch out.
Look out for that, Sox.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He's got their number.
He does. He does indeed.
He just recorded a save against Houston on Monday.
Okay.
So
tight rope or clean?
Clean. Oh, nice. 3 hitters, a strikeout in there, and yeah, clean.
Yeah, so
they saw that. They're like, this is a guy.
So look, the starting pitching market is still in a logjam to me. That's the one thing you can give Breslow. He's missed out on big ticket relievers. He's missed out on a couple of big bats, though. My dream scenario is still Yandy Diaz, who Bradfield made me feel a little better. Could move. That's a righty stick they could use.
Instant analysis.
Eugenio Suarez absolutely would have been that. Yeah,
analysis from Rob Bradford, friend of the show, on the Kyle Finnegan deal to the Tigers.
Yep.
quote, I predict this will be a sneaky good move.
Sneaky good move.
Bradford on record saying sneaky good move.
You know who else? You know who else he said that about when they signed him in 2024?
Shane Bieber. Oh.
Romy Gonzalez.
Sneaky, right. Sneaky, sir.
That was a very...
You're underestimating the sneakiness.
You
I think,
underestimate
in this move.
The yeah. sneakiness of John Turturro. Slash, what is it again? Kyle Finnegan?
Yeah.
Kyle Finnegan.
Kyle.
So there you go. Bradford on the record.
Come on, Kyle.
Going out on a limb.
Yeah.
So that is the one that you can give. Oh, you know what? I just realized we forgot to ask Bradfo about where the Matt's nickname came from. Why is he nicknamed
Reno? Well, let him get into the clubhouse first, and then we'll figure that out.
Good point.
Yeah.
It's a question for next week, yeah. Is what that is. 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe live in Foxborough, presented by McFarland Energy. On the way next, I believe we have a madness, correct, Keefe?
We have a madness.
Let's get to Kiefer Madness coming up next.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for Kiefer Madness here at Jones and Keefe, WEEI. But fear not, if there is any baseball trade, we will break in.
Oh,
tell you what it is.
So you won't miss anything.
Give us instant analysis.
Great.
Of that trade, no matter what. But in the meantime, we'll talk about something else. But if any trade, whether the Red Sox make a trade, feels like they probably won't, or another contending team, maybe the Mariners are going to continue to add to their team.
Yeah, they could get more bats.
They might get more sticks. We'll let you know the moment it happens. Another place that might be making trades is Toronto. The first place Blue Jays, Jones?
Yeah.
This story not about the Blue Jays.
That's not
but
that
about
far from Regina, I don't
well,
think.
That's true, yeah. But the city, Toronto, is very much at the center of something, as they're celebrating a 10-year anniversary of a... Very emotional event. So let's find out what was going on up in Toronto.
Okay.
It's the most Toronto tribute ever. A raccoon, a shrine, and now a plaque. Heritage of Toronto.
Stop. A raccoon?
Raccoon.
A raccoon.
Well,
a raccoon.
That's how we say it here, Keith.
A shrine and a plaque?
I don't even know what the story is, but it feels like a shrine and a plaque.
If Tom
almost
Brady
feels like overkill.
Tom Brady gets a statue. This raccoon gets a shrine and a plaque.
Okay.
Not bad.
Must have been a
what happened? Yeah,
a
what
very
do?
Special raccoon. Yeah.
Must have been really good to the community.
Yeah.
Let's see.
A raccoon, a shrine, and now a plaque. Heritage of Toronto is marking 10 years since that viral sidewalk moment with a commemorative plaque for Conrad the raccoon.
I love it. I think it's...
How do we feel about Conrad being the name of a raccoon?
Well, first of all, I don't love it.
No.
I don't love it at all.
How would it not be Rocky or Richard or Raymond?
Yep.
Rocket, famously from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, you're coming up empty?
No. There was a Weird Al played a raccoon. A raccoon.
He did?
On an episode of Blaze and the Monster Machines. I don't know if your daughters like that show, Keith.
Blaze and the Monster Machines? I don't think we've ever seen that.
Oh.
Good show?
Oh, good program.
Wait, Weird Al's in it?
Weird Al was on an episode.
Oh, okay.
He kind of cameoed on
that. I thought I was a Weird
program.
Al completionist, and I don't remember this.
You missed out on it. I'm not sure if it made his IMDb page.
I'm trying to remember. You went from UHF to this.
I'm trying to remember the character's name. But yeah, you'd like to think it would start with an R, not
Conrad.
Conrad.
They're like, what should we name the raccoon? Conrad.
Maybe they just shorten it to Rad.
Rad.
Rad the raccoon.
Right, what's Rad short for?
Yeah.
Conrad. Yeah, I think you may have pinpointed it, actually.
Oh, good one.
For Conrad, the raccoon.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. I remember when that happened. Whoever works for the city and made it, well done.
In 2015, Conrad was found lifeless near Young and Church. Instead of being picked up quickly, he remained there for nearly 14 hours. As people passed by, they added flowers, candles, and even a cigarette. Then, the hashtag DeadRaccoonTio took off, and the story exploded.
All right, hold on a second.
First of all, the guy that sounds like Bradfo really threw me off, and then what?
No, basically, 10 years ago, there was a dead raccoon that nobody picked up, so it laid on the street for 14 hours.
Wait, but
people gave it a cigarette.
Wait, but it actually was dead, or it wasn't dead?
Yeah, no, he died.
I couldn't tell
if
it just looked dead and people were ignoring it and it survived for 14
you're
hours.
I'm thinking of a possum. Raccoons don't play dead. He was actually dead. And rather than somebody scooping him up there, just like, we could leave stuff for him. So there's like a vigil for the raccoon.
It's raccoon meat. It's riddled with parasites.
We've talked about raccoons before. I do think they're very adorable. But you say they're disgusting.
Well, they don't have a great diet.
No, well, they're trash pandas.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, but they're little eyes and a little tail.
They can be kind of cute.
Little tail. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of cute dead ones, but maybe I haven't seen this one.
Not to replay all of our greatest moments, but Bill, remember we talked about them eating grapes?
Yeah.
Raccoon eating a grape is.
Right, try to take a grape away from a raccoon.
Oh, don't.
Don't even think about it.
They're very protective.
Well, you could have taken one away from Conrad.
He was dead as hell. He was laying there.
He wasn't going to be holding on to much of anything.
The guy gave him a cigarette. Like, you know. You think this worked for my cousin? We thought he was dead. Gave him a cigarette. He's
like
fine.
The little monkey in Hangover.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
Brett
sure.
dropped off at the vet, and all he wanted was a butt.
They do want smoke. That's true. It's addictive. But all right, anyway, let's keep going.
Might have been what killed him, for all we know.
Let's see.
Oh, okay.
It's the 10th year anniversary for Conrad's death day. He died on July 9th, 2015, and so now it seems like the perfect time to give him a plaque. We have this rule in the office that someone needs to be dead to receive a plaque, so he fits our criteria, and he's been a special someone to Torontonians, I think.
Most sadly, that's a shot at Cooperstown, is what that is.
I was gonna say, sadly, we've been giving out a lot of plaques this week.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan plaque, Ozzy Osbourne plaque.
Ryan Sandberg.
Yep. Jamal Warner.
Well, that's a lot of plaques. That's true.
We have a rule. How about that? We have a rule in the office. Can't give anybody a plaque unless
they're dead. Who was she? I didn't see this news story. This is the...
She's in charge of the plaques, I guess, in Toronto.
Just a citizen.
I don't think she's a citizen.
Okay.
I think she's in charge, like, you know, somebody that can get stuff done.
Okay.
Somebody you got, like a fixer. Okay. I think that's who she was.
Yeah.
Most Heritage Toronto plaques are nominated by the public, but each year the team picks one special story. This time, they chose a raccoon that became a city icon.
Sure, why not? I mean, I think they should be the token animal of the city. I mean, Lord knows they're everywhere.
Okay. Well,
you know, they're just... Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine.
That sounds more like a complaint. She's like, we're overrun by these raccoons. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But so pretty synonymous. So you have the Toronto Blue Jays, Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Raptors. He's making a case for
Argonauts.
Raccoons.
Don't leave out the Argonauts.
Don't
leave out the Argos.
She's making a case for raccoons.
Yeah.
Maybe being one of the team.
What I find wild about this story, Toronto is a major, major North American city.
Sure.
It's massive.
Yeah.
And they're treating this like this is a story out of like some small town that would cover. This is massive news in a city like Toronto. That's wild. Canadians continue to be very strange.
If you're just joining us, it was a 10-year anniversary of a dead raccoon. That's what this is.
But again, like in the town where I'm from, I would get that being big news.
Oh, the town you're from, they're eating raccoons.
Right, I would understand this being massive news.
Yeah.
In a major city like Toronto, it surprises me that this took off 10 years ago.
Yep.
First I've heard of it.
Still hanging on to it.
But yeah, interesting.
Now there's a commemorative plaque.
And a shrine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
The plaque features viral tweets, raccoon paw prints, and a QR code where people can share their own raccoon stories.
You know what?
Hundreds already have.
They might be onto something with this now.
Plaque?
No. My gravestone?
QR code?
Cat, if you're listening.
QR code and viral tweet. All the meanest. All the meanest Jones.
Oh, or should I do my own tweets?
I think you do your best.
My
tweet.
Best.
You
tweets on my gravestone. Yeah.
You tweet?
Yeah, Cat, if you're listening.
Play the hits.
If I would like my greatest tweets on the headstone, along with the QR code,
I like
that directs
QR
them
code.
To
where?
The show's.
Just I mean, I guess wherever you want, really.
I mean, I guess you guys will probably move on.
That's pretty.
No.
At that point in time.
We'll just always remember those days.
Something like that. That's not a bad idea. They just said everybody at the cemetery with their phones out, snapping the QR code.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that was a good tweet.
That was a good tweet.
Good singer about Jackie Bradley.
You can upload your own tweet if you like.
Sure.
The second half of the plaque really talks about raccoons in Toronto and how they've kind of thrived in this environment. You know, in the early 1900s with deforestation and urbanization, people were kind of worried that they were going to go extinct. And
how do you know people were worried?
The fur trappers.
The fur trappers came in, Keith, and they wreaked havoc on the raccoon population.
How did she speak for the people of the early 1900s?
They came down the St. Lawrence and they went through all the Great Lakes up to Toronto.
She's like, I can't speak to the concern level of the people of the 1900s about the raccoon population.
I'm telling you, the fur trappers came in and decimated.
I mean, I guess.
Mink, raccoon, beaver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They decimated them.
All the best fur.
Take a history lesson. So the plaque has half that?
It mostly the other raccoon information.
The other half is tweets?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
It's mean tweets and raccoon information you can find on Wikipedia.
And so we kind of talk about why raccoons call Toronto their home, just like us. And we estimate there's about 50,000 of them here now, just really taking over the city.
Love them or not, raccoons are part of life in Toronto. Oh, most residents have a story to tell.
A whole family of them living up on the roof of our house in Cabbage Town. I mean, you know, they're destructive, but they're awfully cute.
Yeah, I agree with her. They are. They're awfully cute.
It's hard to stay mad at them.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. They're just rummaging through your trash. They're covered in rabies. But there's 50,000 of these guys, too. That's bigger than
most cities. Is there any
towns.
Is there any place, what, like Death Valley? Is there any place in North America where there aren't raccoons? Like, I'd imagine they're everywhere.
I mean, how many?
Like, they're acting like these are, you know, native to Toronto. They just eat garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're everywhere. And they're here.
So you could almost fill Gillette Stadium with raccoons in Toronto. It's pretty close. What, 65,000?
10 days worth of attendance at Patriots training camp.
That's true.
Of raccoons.
Not bad. Yeah.
There's one time there was one in my garbage can, like a baby, and it was like crawling around there. And then we heard the mom trying to get it out, and the mom was actually able to like move the garbage down, and then the baby crawled out. So, hey, it saved its baby.
The plaque is temporary.
You don't have to share every story.
Yeah, maybe that
was. Like, hey, do you have a raccoon story? I'd be like, not. If that was the story I had, I'd be like,
no.
Not really.
I know what they look like. I've seen them before.
I visited the plaque.
Yeah.
But no, I'll keep that one to myself.
The plaque is temporary for now, but will soon be replaced with a permanent version that includes life-size raccoon prints. Because in this city, even raccoons leave a legacy. In Toronto, I'm Brandon Rowe for City News.
He thought he stuck the landing on
that. Yeah.
He's like, crushed it.
In a city of champions.
The raccoons live on. Even a dead raccoon.
Matt Sundin.
Roberto Alomar.
James Van Riemsdyk.
Conrad the raccoon.
Because in this city, even raccoons leave a legacy.
What? That's not even a saying.
Curtis Joseph.
In Toronto, I'm Brandon Rowe for City News.
Pat Henkin.
Joe Carter.
Conrad the raccoon.
John Ulruh. The time Dave Steeb threw a no-hitter. And, of course, Conrad.
Damon Stoudemire.
Oh,
it is jersey with a Raptor dribble and a basketball.
Best.
One of the greatest.
The absolute best. There you go. There's the north of the border.
Wow. I do love how that story on the news kind of took a turn from celebrating a story that I personally had not heard of 10 years ago that apparently was a big deal up there into just...
Huge deal.
Just people telling stories about how raccoons...
Cause of death.
...have infested the
unknown.
City. Yeah, I have a guess.
Somebody killed
it? Yeah, some poison. Yeah, inside job. Always, Keith. Always poison. An inside job. It's probably that lady.
It's true.
Probably the lady in Cabbage Town complaining about the raccoons that have taken over her home.
This raccoon's just a martyr.
I'd imagine it was her.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Ah, she's circling back around. She's like, oh, there's interest in this story again.
Yeah.
I've gotten away with it for 10 years. I might as well be close to it.
Good point.
See what they're talking about on
Good
the
point.
News. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get outed. So there you go. That is the madness, Kiefer Madness, every Tuesday, most Thursdays here on Jones and Keith. We are live at Patriots training camp. Day 8 in the books. They got a in-stadium practice tomorrow for all the season ticket holders, if you're lucky enough to be in attendance for that. And then they're back here on Monday. We'll be back here on Monday as well. No trades going down there during Madness?
No, I haven't
missed anything.
Trade desk is quiet.
Breslow's probably listening to Kiefer Madness.
Yeah, he's like, all right, at 1 o'clock I'll start.
Oh, 1 o'clock I'll flip the hour back over and we'll start working out trades. We'll keep it glued to anything in Major League Baseball leading up to the 6 p.m. deadline tonight. All the latest next year on Jones and Keefe.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.